As you find your seats, you can open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. And then you'll also want to turn ahead to Colossians chapter 3. Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. And then we turn ahead to Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever your task, put yourselves into it as done for the Lord and not for your masters, since you know that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You serve the Lord Christ. Would you pray with me? Father God, now as we turn to your word, we pray that the Spirit who inspired the writing of it might inspire our hearing in these moments. I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts here in this place might be pleasing to you in these moments, for you indeed are our rock and our Redeemer. And so now once again we ask that you would help us to hear what it is you want us to hear, and so that you might help us be who it is you want us to be, and so that you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus walked this earth, he talked a whole lot about living. He says, "I have come that you might have life, and abundant life at that. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. I am the living water. Those who drink from me will thirst no more. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the resurrection and the life." As we saw a couple weeks ago, Lazarus come out of that tomb and live. Jesus was passionate about life. He came to give us life, life eternal with our Father one day, and also life abundant on this earth today. We hear this all the time, that he came to give us life, but do we really experience this day in and day out? When we take a step back and look at just our week in review, or maybe a month in review, if we were to chart out our lives on where our time, our energy is invested, what kind of things would we see? Work, family, sleep, rest, hobbies, friends, social media, errands, sitting in traffic, worship, play, service. What makes up our lives? And what are we doing when we are fully alive? That's what we're going to spend the next month delving into, because it turns out that Jesus didn't come just to talk to us about this great idea of living. He came so that he might actually free us to try out this thing called life and live, and not just on weekends and not just on vacations, but in all that we do every day. So we ask ourselves this next month, what is it that we do, and how do we do it as people who are fully alive? And so we jump right in this week with the big theme of work, our favorite. Whoever you are, whatever age, whatever background, work is a real part of your life. Whether you're getting paid for it or not, work is a real part of your life. The work that you used to do, perhaps, is how you're living in retirement. And now you've found all kinds of other things to do to fill your time. The work that you currently do perhaps takes up most of your week. Your inability to find work perhaps daily affects where you want to be in life, or the work that you want to do someday determines what you're studying and preparing for in your life today. Whether you're employed or unemployed, whether you're trying to land your very first job, or if you've been retired for years now, you live in a world that puts a whole lot of emphasis on work. When you meet someone for the very first time, one of the very first things they'll ask you after your name is, "What do you do?" Whether we like it or not, people tend to determine our value, our significance. They tend to figure out what we're all about in this world by the work that we do. Work. It's a significant part of our lives. And so we must ask, to kick off the series, how do we live fully alive in our work? In that stuff that sucks 40 hours a week out of us every single week. First of all, we have to remember why we work in the first place. In Genesis chapter 2, we find this God who is busy at work. He is single-handedly bringing creation into existence. That's a full-time job. The earth and the heavens, moons and stars, planets, land and water, plants and birds and animals and humans. He's making all these, creating them. God is busy. He's toiling, he's planning, he's creating, he's working. And soon enough, he creates Adam and he places him in this garden and he tells him to till it and to keep it. You see, at the very beginning, God wants someone to join him in the pleasure of work. God forms the animals. And he brings each one before Adam, and he asks Adam to name them. Not because God didn't have any good ideas, but because God wanted someone to do it with him. God creates, Adam names, they get to work together hand in hand. It's a beautiful thing. Too often in our world, we view work as some kind of messed up product of the fall. As some kind of punishment that we got for sinning one day. But you see, when we read Scripture the right way, it turns out that that's not right. Because before anything ever went south between God and man, when there was still this perfect, unbroken relationship between the two of them, there was already this gift of shared work. God wanted us to know the joy of getting our hands dirty. And at the end of the day, to look back on what we did and say with him, "Oh, that's good. That's really good." God wanted us to share in his nature, exercising creativity and seeing our efforts accomplish something beautiful and good in this world. God wanted us to be like our Father, putting our energy into something for the good of someone besides just ourselves. You see, God didn't have to create, nor did God need to create. God created out of love for us because he wanted us to get to experience something good from him. And in our work, when we do it right, we also get to engage in doing something good for the sake of others too. Whatever it is, teaching, construction, accounting, caretaking, customer service, sales, watching kids all day. If you do it well, another person should be blessed by the work of your hands. And that connects us to our God in a way that nothing else really can. So why do we work? It's not just because it's a fact of life, you just got to work. It's not because you just have to pay the bills, they keep coming every month. That all is good, but that's not the ultimate reason why we work. We work because work is a gift from our God that we were meant to get to experience with our God. You see, some mornings whenever I'm headed down to work, I look over at my dog. She's already had her breakfast that she didn't purchase or make herself. She sacked out on the couch ready for her morning nap after already having slept 12 hours through the night. And I look at her, and honestly, most days I'm jealous. And I think, oh, to live a life so free from toil, a life as carefree as Charlie's life. Her biggest fear in life is missing a squirrel on the patio. That's it. But when I come home later in the day, I take a moment to pause and take a look back on what, by the grace of God, my hands were able to accomplish, even very small things, or holy conversations that I got to be a part of with people that I wouldn't know apart from my work. When I look back at ways that I was challenged and had to grow up that day, I sit down to rest, and I'm actually tired and have a reason to rest. And I thank God for another day of purpose, for another day of sharing in His goodness, all because of this crazy gift we call work. Remembering that work is a gift, that it connects us to our Father's heart, we then can consider together, so then how do we do our work well? How do we do it as a people fully alive? Colossians 3:23 is talking to slaves, people who have to work all the time, anytime they're wanted, with little say of their own. Colossians 3:23 tells them and it tells us, whatever your task, put yourself fully into it as done for the Lord. And so being fully alive in our work, if it's done for the Lord and not for anybody else, it might mean that each morning as I walk into the office, I pause for just a moment and ask myself how my day might look if every little bit of it was dedicated to Jesus Christ Himself. What if each price that I quote was His? Each check that I sign, each email that I send, every hour that I clock, what if He was behind it? And so it must all be done with integrity and honesty. Not using the job to get all that I can out of it at the expense of clients and customers and employers, but instead giving myself fully to the job so that all of these same folks get the most out of me, and so that Christ might be honored in my task. Work done for the Lord isn't work that just seeks to climb some kind of ladder. He wasn't really into that. But work sees people and invests in relationships all along the way. You see, Jesus came to this earth about 2,000 years ago, and He came to this earth to do some work. But He didn't come just to get a job done. He didn't come just to get to the cross and get it over with. So when you begin to follow His life, you see that He invested in people every step of the way in this journey that we could call work for Him. Because relationships matter ultimately to our God. And in whatever job you do, no matter how unholy or insignificant it may seem to you, the truth is your work most definitely puts you in the path of people that you would not see or know otherwise. And my friends, that is no accident at all. So we ask, how do I live fully alive in my work? First things first, just try to see these people that your work puts you in contact with. Make an effort, know their names. Invite them to lunch on a lunch break, hear their story. Recognize their gifts, their skills, and be quick to compliment them on that. Let these people know where you find your joy, where you find your hope. Live as the light of Jesus Christ among them. This is how you live fully alive in your work. You love whoever God has given you to love right then and right there, and you do all you can to love them really, really well. And now that's a task worth getting out of bed 5 days a week for. It's exciting. How to be fully alive in our work? Besides loving people, besides doing it with integrity, we see our work as an opportunity every single day to reflect the values of God's kingdom lived out on this earth among us. In this culture we live in that is totally adverse to commitment, we work as a people who daily reflect on the heart of the God who stuck with His mission who stuck with his work until it was accomplished by sticking with our projects until they are done and done well. We reflect the kingdom of God come to earth by not checking out the very first time the boss crosses you, by showing up and sticking around whenever folks need you there. It sounds like common sense, but we live in this world that all the time is becoming more and more unused to the idea of committed, reliable people. And so to be a people who show up when they need you to show up is becoming an exception rather than a rule. And when you live as the exception, people take note, and our God gets the glory. Work. Show up. Be committed. Be reliable. See the whole job through. In a culture that says whatever you have to do to make a buck, do it. When you work in a way that values people over things, folks will take note, and God will get the glory. In a culture that says just do enough to check the box each day and move on, when you do your work with excellence, taking pride in even the little things, folks will notice, and the God who loved details so much that he put the stripes on zebras and the spots on leopards and the funny trunks on elephants and these unique fingerprints on every human being, this God who loves the small things of life, he will get the glory. Work. Do the small things well. And do them with great care. And have a lot of fun doing it. Can you imagine God in creation? I bet he had a blast. Have fun working with him. We walk into the office each day, not asking how we can fly under the radar today and just get to 5 p.m. as quickly as possible, but instead thanking Christ that we get to come to work with him again today, that we get to be a part of holy conversations in this sacred toil. When we walk into work asking God how we can possibly please him in all that we do in that place for those next 8 hours, I can guarantee you people will take note. Lives will be changed, and our God will get the glory. Monday is coming, my friends, and that's good news. We excited or what? With a fresh set of eyes, we get to see what our Father is doing at the shipyard and at the hospital and at the school and on the field and at the job each and every day. We don't get to just see it. We get to actually do it with him. Thanks be to God for the gift of work. What does it look like when the people of God live fully alive in their work? It looks a little bit like Brother Lawrence, the 17th century monk who was assigned of all duties to work in the kitchen at the monastery. At first, he was disappointed with a job that seemed less than sacred to him. And then after a little while, Brother Lawrence began to find God in that kitchen. He wrote an entire book about this God who dwells among the pots and the pans, he would say. He learned in that place to wash those dishes with all of his heart 3 times a day for love of his brothers. And he'd pray over each dish as he prepared their meals and cleaned up after them. Brother Lawrence learned to use the silent moments in that tucked away space in the monastery to listen for God's voice and to worship him there. And he learned that the most ordinary work can be the most sacred when we do it for our God and allow our God to meet us in the midst of it. A dishwasher fully alive because he found God in that kitchen. The people of God fully alive in their work reminds me of a crossing guard that I knew as a child. For 3 years, every single day, she was the one who would meet me at the corner of Blue Jay and Mockingbird Street so I could walk across the street and get to school safely. Miss Linda was her name, and I have never in my life known anyone with a more contagious smile than hers. Here I am 25 years later, and still I can see her standing in the middle of the road with her stop sign up in the air, waving at each car, taking the time to ask me how my day at school was, or just to tell me good morning and to have a great day, and she meant it. And it was honestly the highlight of my day for those 3 years crossing the street. Because for just those 10 seconds, I knew I was seen and I was loved. We all did. Miss Linda probably took home about $100 a month for being a crossing guard. But she made a lasting impact because even as she held up that stop sign, she loved Jesus and she loved us well. A crossing guard, fully alive because God was in that intersection. The people of God, fully alive at work, makes me think of my friend David. He's a surgeon back in Waco. And one day I asked David what his favorite passage in Scripture was. And without even missing a beat, he said Psalm 139. Especially that verse that says, "You formed me in my mother's womb. I am beautifully and wonderfully made." Immediately, tears filled David's eyes. And he said to me, he said, "Jamie, I've been in the operating room 5 days a week for over 30 years. He said, "I have performed thousands of surgeries on thousands of bodies, and still every single day I find myself overwhelmed in that place by the intricacy, by the beauty, by the majesty of the human body." That all these little hidden pieces that must work together for life, and there's no two bodies just alike. He said, "In that room, every day, I stand in awe and I worship this God who is creative and beautiful and so kind to give us life." He said, "Each and every day in my job, there is a chance to stand in awe of the beauty of God once again." A surgeon, fully alive, even when he gets that 3 a.m. on-call call, because he finds God in that operating room. A people of God, fully alive at work, makes me think of my friend Rick, who lives here in Belfair. Over the winter months, I've watched him piece by piece build an engine for his boat. Hours upon hours in the shop, welding and sanding and painting these little pieces that no one will ever see besides him. This past month, he spent days sanding the old paint off the bottom of the boat just so he could repaint it, and white of all colors, the bottom of the boat. And I watched him apply each new coat of paint perfectly. This masterpiece that no one would ever behold because it was meant for the bottom of the boat. As Rick worked in his shop, giving his full effort to resurrecting this old vessel who others might have written off years ago, he thanked God each day for a chance to learn something new, to do something really well that only he and God may ever get to know about. Thanked God for a chance to see something that was broken functioning again, something old made new. An engine maker, a boat painter, fully alive because he found God in his shop. The people of God, fully alive at work, makes me think of our friend Stan. Served the church behind the scenes longer than many of us have even been here. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I've yet to get here earlier than him on any of those days. Diligently vacuuming the same carpet this week that he vacuumed last week. Fixing leaks and faucets that folks may never even know were there. Straightening chairs, setting up rooms, putting all the little pieces in this place together just to help a people worship their God well. And if you know Stan, you know it's impossible to greet him without sharing in his joy. Every day he asks for some good news. And every day he's the first to proclaim it, that God is good and we're all doing better than we deserve. Every day he serves with little recognition, but with great joy. Fully alive in this place because our God is in this church, even on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays. The people of God, fully alive at work, makes me think of my friend Susie James. She is the greatest prayer warrior I have ever known. In her retirement, she realized she didn't have as much energy as she used to have to go and do. And boy, was she ever a goer and a doer. And so instead, she committed to lifting up her church and her family and her friends and her community in prayer for several hours every single day. She'd get up at 4 a.m. just to make sure she had time to pray for 3 hours before breakfast. When I was a minister in Waco, she would call me almost every single week just to let me know that she was going to be praying for me the next day. And she wanted to know my requests, and she wanted to know all about our youth. And she said, for the youth, I want you to give me names and details. She said, I'm praying for you tomorrow, 7 to 8 a.m. It's your time. What do you got? You knew whatever you mentioned to Susie, God was going to be hearing about it very, very soon. Never receiving a paycheck, but living as intentionally as ever. A retired widow prayer warrior. Fully alive because Susie Janes found God in her home, in her prayer closet, eager to listen anytime she lifted up her voice to him. I wonder this week if someone were to pop into your workplace, wherever it is, whatever it looks like, into that place where you spend 40 or so hours a week, and if they were to ask the people around to tell them about someone on the job who really knows how to live, do you think your name would come to mind? What would it look like for Jesus to show up in that place you spend 40 hours this week? What if he spent all 40 hours with you there? How would it change what you do and how you do it? Who you engage and how you engage them? My friends, tomorrow begins a new week. And Jesus is already in that place, waiting for you to join him in God's blessed gift of work. This week, may you live even while you work, because our God is most certainly in that place. Let's not miss him. Let's live even on Mondays. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you. Thank you that before anything in the world was broken, that you looked at this earth and you saw it was good. You looked at humanity and you said it was good. And you looked at work and you said it was good. That you invited us to be a part of something that reflects your heart, your love, your care for creation, your care for others. You allowed us to be a part of doing something in this world that's beautiful, that's kind, that matters. Father God, this week, open our eyes to see what it is you've given us to do. Renew our hearts to help us see it as a gift once more. Help us see the people in our path because of this work. Help us love them well. And help us live out your kingdom values in that place that we spend hour after hour, Mondays through Fridays. We are yours. Our work is yours. And so may all that we do reflect that truth. We love you. Thank you that you love us. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.